the first part of Psalm 108, that's verses 1 to 5, is a repetition of an earlier psalm, Psalm 57, verses 7 to 11. And it reads, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O God, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your covenant love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the clouds. Rise up, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth." And a comment on those verses. Rather than await the dawn, the psalmist wants to hurry it on with his expectant hope that God's faithful covenant love will light up the heavens like the first rays of the rising sun. He realizes that it's not God who needs awakening, it's himself. "Awake, my soul," he will say. He remains vigilant, praying with Jesus. We think of Jesus' resurrection. For us, everything will be dispelled by the light of the resurrection. The ultimate dawn is when we share in Jesus' risen life. "Let your glory," the psalmist prayed, "let your glory shine on earth." Introducing the birth of Jesus, Luke draws on the imagery of this psalm. And I'm quoting from chapter 1 of Luke, "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us." When Jesus is born, we're told, a multitude of the heavenly host praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." God's glory, God's radiant beauty, is revealed on earth in everything Jesus was, everything he did, and everything he said. In his second letter to the Christian communities in Corinth, Paul recalls a scene from the book of Exodus, chapter 34. The people have worshipped a golden calf. Moses pleads with God to remain present to his people in spite of their sin. God cannot reveal God's glory directly to the sinful people, for that would mean their destruction. So God reveals God's glory to Moses, who will mediate God's presence to the people. The reflected glory on Moses' face authenticates his word as the word of God. But even this reflected glory in the story, we're told, causes the people to be afraid. So Moses veils his face. The symbolism of the veil is carried over into the temple. The curtain veiling the inner sanctuary of the temple, the Holy of Holies. God is present among his people, but necessarily veiled. Hence the longing of the people, as they often say, to see the face of God. And the promise that one day, and we find this in Isaiah chapter 60, "You shall see and be radiant." Paul is comparing God's revelation through the ministry of Moses to the new revelation, the revelation of God in Jesus through Paul's ministry. The ministry entrusted to Moses came in glory, as was demonstrated by the transfiguration of Moses' face. The ministry entrusted to Paul came in abounding glory, greater glory, as is dramatically portrayed by Paul's disciple Luke in the scene of Jesus' transfiguration. You find that in Luke chapter 9. I'll read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, where Paul writes, they're beautiful words, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus the Messiah as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. And Paul continues, for it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul concludes his meditation with a beautiful description of the essence of the Christian life enjoyed by all those who welcome the proclamation of the gospel. Christ is the wisdom of God, a breath of the power of God, a pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty, a reflection of eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God and an image of God's goodness. They're all images taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7. Christ is the mirror, the image of God. And when, with unveiled faces, we contemplate Christ, we see there the glory of God. As Moses was transformed when he went into the presence of God, so are we. For us Christians, however, for all of us, it is into Christ that we are transformed. It is God's Spirit who brings about this transformation, for it is the Spirit who is, in Paul's words, the source of your life in Christ Jesus. The redeeming, healing, and saving love of God revealed in the heart and on the face of Jesus invites us to look upon him with our faces unveiled. Daring to believe the good news, we contemplate Christ and are bathed in his light. He gives us his Spirit who purifies our hearts. It's God whose glory we contemplate on the face and in the heart of Christ. It is God's Spirit, the Spirit of love that binds Jesus to God, who purifies our hearts and transforms them into the heart and the mind of Christ. It is in the Christian life of the minister of the new covenant and in the Christian lives being lived in their own community that the Corinthians are to see the radiance of God's glory. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shed shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, the Messiah. So before I finish this psalm, I'd like to read again, just slowly, the first five verses which capture the prayer. I'll read it without comment. It reads, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, lyre and harp. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O God, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your covenant love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the clouds. Rise up, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill the earth." And the remainder of the psalm is a reflection. And we can reflect on it with Jesus. We find the same words in another psalm, Psalm 60, verses 5 to 12. And here I'm reading from Psalm 108, verse 6 and the following. "Give victory with your right arm, so that those whom you love may be rescued. O God has decreed in the sanctuary, I will triumph and divide the land of Shechem. I will portion out the vale of Succoth. For Gilead is mine and Manasseh. Ephraim, says God, is my helmet. Judah is my commander's staff. Moab is my washbowl, and on Edom I will plant my shoe. Against me, Philistia, hurl forth your war cry, if you dare." And the psalmist, "Who will lead us to Edom to breach the city wall? God, will you still hold back? Will you desert our camp? Grant us help against the foe, for human help is of no avail. With God we will do valiantly. It's our God who will crush our foes." The understanding of God as a warrior Lord, the thinking that God controls what happens in history, and the attitude of the psalmist, the attitude he has to enemies, leave this psalm as a historical record, but not as a prayer for Jesus or for a Jesus disciple. Where in verse 6, the psalmist speaks of those whom you love, we might reflect upon the church as the especially loved spouse of Christ, redeemed by his blood.